CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast. This is Sunday, October 19th, 2008. And I am one of your hosts tonight, Nick B.A. Penguin Paleo, and I am cooperating with two other fine fellows.
I am Mike Farianoth Katsifrakis.
And I am Mark Genie Man Alley, back after a one podcast hiatus.
Yeah, we were actually supposed to have Lauren on our last podcast, but he had some internet issues, so we could have had you on the last one.
Well, it's okay, guys. All's forgiven. I'm not holding the grudge here.
We missed you.
Yeah, I know.
No, you missed him.
Oh. Mike apparently does not.
Is this all related to, you know, the shotgun to the back of the head last night in Duke Nukem?
You kicked me in the head, you shot me in the head, and the only reason I don't hate you outright is because Nick did it more.
That's probably true.
That really was a lot of fun.
Yep. Yeah, I bet it was.
Well, not just shooting in the back of the head, but just in general, the Duke Nukem co-op night we had.
Getting our asses kicked.
Old school memories there.
It very really fun. Is. It's a shame that more games don't take cues from some of these older shooters. Duke Nukem, I still think, 10 years later, it holds up really well. I've been playing through it with a buddy, two-player co-op, and we've gone through all three episodes, and we're halfway through the fourth episode, which is the expansion pack.
And nice. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun still, and the levels, they're difficult and challenging and stuff, but they're still really inventive with some of the puzzles and stuff in it to, you know, unlock the doors and keep moving forward and stuff, so.
Yeah, it really, and I know the football field level for Deathmatch is about as plain as you can get, but man, it's like primal, and it's fierce, it's so fun, you know, it's like, you start running and shooting right from the get-go, and somebody's in your sights, it's so fun.
Yeah. So, we've all been playing that, but Mike, what have you been playing otherwise?
Well, let's see. I played pretty much straight through Force Unleashed last week, and I guess I like that a little more than other people, but, it's Star Wars, and I like Star Wars, so I guess I'm easily impressed. Today I've been playing through Dead Space, and I'm stuck on the last boss, who everyone is probably going to be able to beat on the first try, except for me, who has to die repeatedly to one specific part of it. But, you know, I'm not bitter. Other than that, I don't really think I've been playing too much, other than, I've been playing Time Hollow on the DS, which is kind of a neat little adventure game. And no co-op this week. I am sad.
Well, the co-op Duke Nukem, that counts.
Oh, yeah, and last week when we had the rock band party at your place.
Indeed. The ultimate co-op.
Truth.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Mark? What have you been playing this past week or two?
Well, we've been really busy, so it's just been little bits and pieces of things. The Duke Nukem, you know, last night, that was enjoyable. Really a lot of Rock Band 2 more than anything, I'd say. We're getting close to finishing the world tour on that, I think. Really, really good song selection. I'm just really impressed with that every time I play it. We had a good time. We had four players over the other night. And, of course, that just adds more and more. And got more achievements because there's more people. This is a good time.
I was just going to say, you haven't lived until you've heard me sing on Master Exploder.
Yeah. We had a bunch of fun with something yesterday. It was Give It Away Now, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, that was, it was so fun. My son was singing, and I just told, then I took the microphone and just started rubbing it on my pants, you know, like we talked about the last podcast.
Hey, this is like, a family podcast.
sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, Rock Band was a great time. It's just one of the best co-op experiences there is, if you ask me. A little bit of Lego Batman with a little guy. He really likes it. I am really frustrated by the camera in that game. I can't climb ladders very well. Just the camera issues are just horrendous in that. But kind of bothers me. I played a little bit of Two Human. Tried to play one night co-op, and my partner ended up dropping out on me. But it was just trying to level up a little bit. But mainly, I've been playing Final Fantasy IV on my DS, and yeah, I kind of agree. Like Mike said, there's just some bosses that just keep kicking your butt over and over, And I was stuck on this one boss that was just killing me over and over, like probably 20, 25 times. And wow. it didn't work. So I finally got past it, but now I'm stuck on another boss. So we'll
see. they really tweaked the bosses in that game to kick your ass.
Dude, it's rough. It is really pretty tough. And I played those kind of games since I was like 10 years old.
Yep.
But still. But anyway, it's a good kind of tough. It's not like I've thrown my DS or anything yet. But
so yeah, Rock Band 2 for me as well. We had a party last weekend, and before that I had to get my practice time in. So I played I played a bunch of that, and then we had the Rock Band 2 party. 9 consecutive hours of Rock Band 2, believe it or not, actually is tiring.
Wow.
I was wiped out the next day.
Yeah, you didn't have to drive 4 hours home after that.
Yeah, I lucked out on that end of the deal. So. So yeah, other than that, I've been playing Dead Space as well. I didn't blast through it in one day like Mike has. I'm slowly working my way through that. I'm enjoying it. The production values of it are really high. The interface on the game is just incredible. I hope more games take a cue from it and start implementing in-game interface that's for the out-of-game experience, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. You have to see it to believe it, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to describe, but basically, you know, the interface that the character is interacting with is the interface that the player is interacting with as well to do what he needs to do. It's really well done.
And it's really intelligently designed, because you might have your inventory screen up, then something drops out on you, and you have to fight. So instead of having to close out your menu, you can just aim your weapon, and the little holographic display turns off until you're done killing stuff. Yeah. And that comes right back on, right back where you were.
Yeah, it's really well done. I'm enjoying it. I'm not a real big survival horror person, but as we kind of talked about before the podcast, it's not so much survival horror as it is, like, it's closely related to maybe a Bioshock or a Bioshock's Root System Shock. So
Gears of Resident Evil.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely more a shooter than it is a survival horror.
So the other game I've been playing is Fable 2. And
I hate you.
Yeah, hate. Totally dislike it, Nick, right now.
Yeah. So actually, last week I went to a consumer event in New York City for Microsoft, and they had a bunch of Xbox games on display, as well as some of their other things like the Zune and Vista and some of their, like, the sync thing that goes into the car and stuff. So obviously I was there to play with the games, and they had the final build of Fable 2 on display, and I played about 20 minutes with the guy with local co-op, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I really want this game. I can't wait to get a copy. And so I came home Friday, and I was ecstatic. I was like a little girl when I saw a package between my front door, and I opened it, and it was Fable 2, because I knew what I was going to be doing the entire weekend.
Oh.
And so that's pretty much what I've been doing. I probably could put a good 10 hours into the game. I haven't played any co-op. I wanted to get my wife involved. I wanted to follow Mr. Molyneux's suggestion of getting a non-traditional gamer involved with playing the game.
Sure.
We just haven't had time, though. So, but it's good. I mean, there's so much to do. I mean, the game really is Fable, like, 10 levels higher. It's everything the first game had, and then there's so many other things you can do. There's an entire, like, in-game economy system. There, you know, you can get married, you can have kids, you can learn countless spells. Every spell has, like, different levels and stuff, and I don't want to ruin too much. It's good.
I heard you're a proud father in Fable 2, Nick.
Yeah.
I heard about that, too.
it's pretty funny. So, like I said, I did get married in the game. It's incredibly easy to woo a woman. It only takes a few flirtatious lines, a couple flexes of your muscle, and before you know it there's a ring on her finger, and you guys have...
That's totally realistic, man. Come on, that's all it takes, right?
I guess so. Maybe for you, Mark, but it took a little more for
definitely.
Me.
I know when I proposed to my wife, all I did was emote at her a couple times and then flex.
So when you get married, then you can buy a house, and you can, like, basically assign family to that house. And what's pretty funny is when you buy the house, you actually set an allowance for your wife to have. And depending on how much you give her, like, the happier she is. And I guess, I don't know, eventually I think she starts decorating and stuff like that. So, yeah, so she proposed that we have marital relations. And you're given the choice of whether to have protected sex or unprotected sex. And being the rebel I was, I chose unprotected.
I just wonder what methods were available, you know. I'm just curious.
I think it's the A button or the B button.
Interesting.
Yeah, so then it's literally like there's like a 10-second, the screen goes black, she you know, makes a couple of noises, and then immediately, before the screen even comes back from black, she goes, "Oh, look what you've done now, I'm pregnant." And by the time the game...
All your fault.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. By the time it fades back in from black, and you turn around and you look out to, you know, past your bed, there's already a cradle there with a baby in it. You're just, Jesus. So, the game, I mean, in a nutshell, Fable 2 is like, it's a really fun game, and there's a lot of really cool things to do, but it doesn't always take itself seriously, and it's a very lighthearted game, and it's just, you know, you'll laugh, and it's good stuff. So,
can you play as like a female character?
Yes, you can. You can pick a male or a female in the beginning.
I said that's a whole different set of problems then for them.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I accidentally blew a kiss to a guy the one time, and they get pissed off and they run, and like it tells you, and it's like this person may not be attracted to, you know, the same sex or opposite sex or whatever, and it's. So, and every NPC in the game, you can, if you focus on them, you can bring up this little card on them, and it shows you, you know, the emotes that they like, where they like to go, you know, the kind of person that they like, and things like that. It's insane. It's just so deep.
Very deep.
Things like, so, like, there's a whole economy in the game, right? So there's literally a housing market, and depending on what's going on in, like, the town, like, if you're, like, killing people in the town just randomly, or, like, you're just letting bad things happen in the town, like there's crime and stuff, like the housing values go down. So then you can buy the houses when they're low, and then you can go around and then clean up everything that was like going on, and then the housing values go back up, and then you can sell it for a profit.
Nice.
And even you can even do things like you buy a house and you can rent it out, and then every 5 minutes you get income from that. So no matter where you are in the game world, you'll see a little thing come up and it'd be like income, 64 gold. You can buy shops and do that too. It's insane. There's so much you can do with, like, not even touching the main quest line and stuff. It really kind of has that Oblivion feel to it, in how, like, you can get totally lost in the game and not do anything with the game itself, like, what it was designed for. And that's not even co-op yet. It didn't even touch the co-op stuff, so...
I do actually have a couple questions about your experience so far. Just concerns that were part of the first game, see if they carried over. Does the storyline actually focus itself a little more clearly this time? Because I remember the original, you kind of had a goal of what to do, but the bad guy was kind of sprung on you at the last minute.
No, I mean, you know from the get-go who the bad guy is. Basically, you start the game out in childhood, and there's like this one-hour like intro kind of mission thing, and you're just running around, learning the controls and stuff. And right. Something happens in childhood, and this guy does something to you and your family, etc. And somebody finds you and then raises you, and then it kind of fast forwards. I think it's like 15 years. So it's definitely clear cut what's going on. They tell you right away. There's four major things you have to do throughout the game. Four people you have to find, I should say.
Uh-huh.
And so I found the first one. I'm almost done getting the second one. And that's probably about 10 hours in. So I'm guessing it's probably somewhere in the range of a 20-hour game, 20, 25 hours.
Cool. And my other question is, the first game kind of, it gave you the illusion that there was a lot more to do than there really was, because when you went out and explored the environments, you were kind of kept on some set linear paths.
Right.
I know they implemented the breadcrumb thing with this one, but do you have a little bit more freedom of motion in this one?
Yeah, there's a ton. It's really... In fact, it might be too open because, like, I found, like, things hidden on, like, ledges that you have to actually jump down off of and stuff.
Huh.
But that's kind of what your dog's for. You can actually, like, level your dog up with treasure hunting abilities and stuff, and he'll point it out to you. He'll bark and kind of, like, look at it. And It's pretty cool. The dog is a whole other aspect. Like I said, this game is really, really deep, and there's just so much stuff going on that even in 10, 12 hours, I don't even think I've begun to scratch the surface of things. Like, I've been seeing things about, like, putting things into your weapons to, like, mod them, you know, add abilities to them. I still haven't even gotten a weapon that lets me do that. So, you know, there's a ton going on there.
I got a question for you. We had a story about how Molyneux said, is that how you say his name, Molyneux?
Yeah.
Okay. He said that the game was flawed. Have you come across anything that just sticks out to you as being unfinished or imperfect from the get-go? Or?
I think the interface is a little rough, maybe. Okay. Like, accessing your items and stuff like that, it's a little bit slow. I wish there was a quicker way to do it, but other than that, that's the only thing that's kind of annoyed me with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought he's pretty... I mean, I like to hear that honesty from the guy. You know, he kind of tends to promise the world, but sounds like maybe this time he's reeling it in a little. So, anyway, I'm really excited to play Fable 2 myself.
Yeah, so we'll definitely be talking about this, I'm sure, for...
weeks. You know,
once we actually get to play the co-op of it, because the co-op's going to be a blast. So the orb thing is actually working right now. I don't know if I don't think you can actually join the game, but you can trade items through the orbs. You can see stats of the other player and stuff. And it's funny because like their gamer pick is like the orb. It's like wrapped around the orb, so you kind of like if they have their face or something on it, you can see it floating around the world. It's kind of creepy.
Nice touch.
So I think that's enough Fable 2 talk though, because there was another game that was supposed to come out this week with Fable 2 that just got delayed. And that's Little Big Planet. And that was one that I know all of us were looking forward to.
Yes.
We talked about it in the last co-op, the cast, because we checked out the beta and we posted up some impressions and a video of the beta. But basically what happened was it was found that one of the background musics in the game had a couple passages from the Quran in it, actually. And a group of folks got together and actually wrote a letter to Sony and Media Molecule about it. And they decided to have a recall before it even hit the store shelves.
Yeah, and they decided to recall it after it had been shipped to retailers. So if you want a super special limited edition of the game that you probably won't be able to tell anything is different about, you can probably try and bug someone to break the street date because they still have them in stock.
I just don't see how you could do a recall and really expect them all to come back at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge... like loss for them, not only time wise like now they're going from being maybe like one or two big games to having maybe like three or four big games out alongside with it.
Yeah, that I think it's going to definitely hurt their sales.
It's definitely not going to help Sony in the holiday season because they're losing one or more weeks of sales.
Yeah.
Is there a finalized new release date for the States yet, do we know?
Right now, it says the week of October 27th, so okay. there wasn't an exact date given, just the week
that's
of October
27th. That's a one-week delay then, right?
Yeah, it's probably going to be at least a week, if not more.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, just the cost alone of having to recall all those and then, you know, packaging costs and all that other stuff that they're losing on that.
Well, it seems to me Little Big Planet is like... the Wii, it'll get the Wii crowd in, but playing with the PlayStation 3. You know, it's cutesy, it's got a lot of community-related stuff, it just seems very appealing to your non-core gamer, if you know what I mean. And if Sony's wanting to, you know, this is supposed to be the year of the PlayStation 3 or whatever, they really didn't need any missteps with such a big launch as Little Big Planet. I don't know if it'll affect... end up the console sales for the year or whatever, but definitely it's got to hurt them at least a little bit, I would think.
So, I mean, there's really not much more to say about that than we're pretty disappointed. We actually have a pretty big contest and promotion, I guess, lined up. I guess it's not big. It's just a lot of fun stuff we're going to do the week that it launches, and we were going to do it this week, but we're going to hold off on that. And I know, Mike, you're working on something really cool.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
I like it. So that's all we're going to tease you guys with.
Yeah, you're teasing me, too. I have no clue what you're talking about.
So, yeah. So like we were saying, there's a lot of stuff coming out this fall. And a lot of games are co-op games, actually. And a lot of them are games that the original version didn't have co-op. Things like Fable 2, the first game didn't have co-op. Saints Row 2, there's a Spyro game coming out this week. There's a Crash Bandicoot game coming out this week, and all those games are going to have co-op with them. And then we also have Gears of War 2, Resistance 2, all these games that are adding co-op in, and they're like these core holiday games from these publishers that are, you know, they're looking to drive sales of not only like the platform, but you know, everything else that goes along with it. So, I mean, what do you guys think about that, about co-op now being, you know, a staple feature in these games instead of just a small bullet point in the back of the box? You know, you look at something like Resistance 2, where they've added an 8-player co-op mode to it. It's a whole campaign devoted to it. Gears of War 2, adding a 5-player co-op mode to it. Stuff like that.
I think most people are starting to expect it these days, especially after the popularity of co-op in the first Gears of War. You know, it really brought people's minds back to the days when you'd, you know, fire up the NES and play Contra with your best friend. Now that the online technology has reached a point where you could get a reliable connection between two people, I don't see why they wouldn't add this kind of thing in.
Yeah, I know like 10, 15 years ago when we used to get together every weekend, me and my buddies, and do the LAN games. You know, that feeling has not really been, there's not much like that until all these online games now coming on. And even now, it's just so much easier to get an Xbox or PlayStation and do that instead of having to worry about the PC end of it and, you know, whether your gear can handle it. But I'm not much of a shooter type of gamer, but Gears of War 2 sounds really interesting to me, just for the five-man versus the horde thing. It seems like that would be a lot of fun to just do for maybe 30, 45 minutes at a time, something in a real small chunk, but you're still working together with other people. That, to me, sounds real appealing. Maybe not so much the campaign mode, but just the real quick drop in, have some fun with some buddies, and then just drop right back out. Sounds good to me.
You know, it'd be fun. The Horde mode, for whatever reason, whenever I hear about it, I'm reminded of Smash TV. Just, you know, yeah. you and your friends against wave upon wave of bad guys. Sounds like a blast. I think I'd probably like that more than the campaign, because, let's face it, Gears of War doesn't have the greatest story in the world. You know, it's got the gameplay to keep it fun, but that's probably why I'm trucking through it.
You know, that's one of the things that they're trying to correct with the Gears of War 2, that they brought in Joshua Ortega. He's a comic book writer, actually, and they brought him in to pen the story of Gears 2, because, you know, they knew that the story in the first game wasn't presented in the best way and was kind of weak and stuff, so, you know, they said that it's going to be a bigger focus on this. Because I got to say, Gears 1, despite, you know, the lack of story, just the way the co-op worked and how seamless it was and how there was branching paths, you know, where you had to cover each other and, you know, there's different things of how you had to work together. It was one of the best co-op experiences that I've ever had. So I have high hopes for Gears 2 and what it can do in the campaign.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that the gameplay of the campaign is going to be just as stellar as it was the first time around. I don't think switching up the writer is really going to do too much to help the story unless they've really changed the focus of the game, because if I remember correctly, the person that wrote the dialogue for Gears was the person that wrote the dialogue for Bioshock. You know, the difference between those two games is light years. So, you know, it really depend on them wanting to put a break in the action more than anything else.
Yeah. So one last thing I wanted to say about the Horde mode was Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. There's a co-op mode where you can have, I believe it's 12 players, basically against swarms of angry Mexicans. And and it was...
It's not a kill the Haitians kind of thing, is it? One of the Grand Theft games?
Yeah, it's not quite that bad. They're actually Mexican militants, but they're angry. Okay.
And they're coming
at you. So, and it's just wave after wave. And that was, we used to do that every Tuesday night, and it was a lot of fun. And we would be laughing and hooting and hollering. And it's just, you know, it's like you kind of said earlier about Duke Nukem 3D and the stadium level. Not, you don't really have to think too much. You're just pressing the trigger finger and going through it. And sometimes you just need that mindlessness.
Yeah, you just want to check out and kill some stuff randomly, you know. And if you can do it with a few buddies, it's just that much sweeter.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of games coming out this fall, and like I said, so Spyro, you know, a game that's traditionally like a platformer, playing by yourself, adding a co-op mode. Same thing with Crash, another kind of a platformer title, adding a co-op mode. So it's really good to see these developers trying to think outside the box and add these things in and know that players want to play together.
Co-op platforming is kind of an interesting bag. I don't know if you remember a really old PS2 title called, I think it was The Adventures of Cookie and Cream, was basically like a vertical scrolling platformer, but you're split in half by, I think it was a river. And the players on either side have to manipulate switches and use abilities to get the other player forward. And that was a really stellar example of co-op play. And if these platformers can implement something similar to the mechanics of that, that would be pretty cool in my eyes.
I mean, those kind of games, I would think, should appeal to you, Mark, because you know you play with your kids a lot.
Definitely.
So
it comes down to, you know, there's games that I'm going to play by myself that I don't want my kids in there, or, you know, it's too hard. I can't play Halo with my 7-year-old, you know. But if I could sit down and play with them, the three of us working together, I mean, it's so much more fun. And, you know, we played our mind, like Smash Brothers, we played so much Smash Brothers and Soul Calibur, all these things. But, you know, after a while, it's just, I wish we weren't beating up on each other all the time. You know, you get mad or whatever. You know how it is. And I know it's just you talking trash or whatever, and it goes a little bit too far. I'm not saying I beat my kids, by the way. But it's much better if you can cooperate. You can work together instead. And I just think it's more fun to play that way. It's a little bit more relaxed. And the Wii phenomenon is making a little bit more casual types wanting to play, I think, more of the hardcore games even. And the more that we can incorporate stuff, the co-op modes in these big titles like Gears, Resistance, and you know, even like Saints Row and some others that came out just recently with the co-op in them, it's just going to make more sales in the end, I think, for all of the games.
You know, you were just saying about the Wii thing with the casual, hopefully playing more hardcore. Well, the games that are coming out for the Wii, this is completely off topic, but I put together the weekly release this morning. Not only is there like 70-some games coming out this week, probably half of them are for the Wii, and they're all like really like casual weird kind of things, like well, you got your Barbie Horse Adventures.
Oh Jesus.
You know, there's like a Littlest Pet Shop game, Circus Games, High School Musical something or other.
All right.
Jillian Michaels fitness trainer, Pet Pals Animal Doctor, Pets Rescue Wildlife Vet, Pets Saddle Club.
Yeah. I have kind of a funny story, if you'll permit it, for the Wii. We haven't turned the Wii on for probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. It's just we've been so busy and haven't had time. But we get Nintendo Power, and the little guy was reading through the Nintendo Power, and he sees an ad for the new Ben 10 game. And he's like, Daddy, it's on the Wii. Do we still have a Wii? It's like, yes, we still have the Wii, but it said it was in stores now. So he's like, well, let's go. Let's get in the car and go get it right now. And so I looked up the release, and it doesn't come out for another week or so. And he said, but why does this say now, Dad? Why would they lie in the magazine? Anyway, it was just... It was
publishing
just
schedules.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think they meant for us to be reading the magazine quite that early. I'm not quite sure. But, hey, I think that it will actually have co-op, so who knows? It may be the best co-op game ever. You never know.
Well, was it you, Mike, when you were here that you saw my Wii is actually on my DVD shelf, disconnected?
Yeah. My Wii is on my... I moved a few weeks ago, and I put all my systems back out on the electronics racks in my living room, and I haven't hooked the Wii back up because, frankly, there's nothing I want to play on it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, guys. I can't explain it. It's our power went out, and when the power goes out, it's like the Wii has the red light. You know, it's not in standby mode anymore.
Yeah,
and it's
like
I've noticed that, and I sit down and I'm just like, yeah, we should be playing something. And I look, you know, we've got the Smash Brothers, we've got the Mario Kart, we've got the Super Mario Galaxy, we've got the Metroid 3, we've got all those, you know, top tier Wii games, and it's like, I don't want to play them. I just can't explain it. I think maybe now that I've gotten more into the Xbox Live through the website with Co-Optimus and everything, I'm just used to more of the friends and the community, and it just is not there on the Wii at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I feel like I could, should we sell it? Should we get rid of it? And, you know, and then I'll probably have like my, you know, my in-laws over, and they'll play, golf for like 6 hours or something like that. So somebody will get use out of it, I guess.
I think the problem with the Wii, and I know this is dreadfully off topic right now, but the all of my friends who were gamers in the past who have either no time to game or wanted to get back into it bought the Wii. So my Wii play happens when I go to my friends' places, and when I'm at home, I really don't want to play more Mario Kart. I really don't want to play more Smash Brothers. And it's like you said, the features that PlayStation Network and Xbox Live add to the console experience are just better.
Yeah, they are.
Right. Say what you will about the social gaming aspect about, you know, getting together and playing some Wii Bowling or Smash Brothers with your friends all on the couch, but
yeah.
I have everybody at my fingertips on the 360 and PlayStation.
Well, we had an article about Phantasy Star Zero, I think, which is coming to the DS.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sounds like a lot of fun, and I think they're supporting online co-op with this game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But it's got to be the biggest hassle to find three other people and get them entered in with your code, and you give them your code. You know, it's just a mess.
Yeah. You underestimate the power of Phantasy Star Online and Monster Hunter in Japan, sir.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. you know, when they want something that bad, they'll take any steps necessary. But we have not played, I think, but maybe an hour of a game online against other people that we know on the Wii. So it's just so far behind. And I'm a Nintendo fanboy from a long time ago, but they've really got to get with it, or they're not going to. Well, they're still making money hand over fist, so they don't. Really
they don't
care,
have to get with anything. They're making so much money. They don't care.
They just have to come out with a new Wii controller every 2 years, and they'll have people doing whatever they want. Anyway, back on topic.
So, we were talking about the fall release schedule and how busy and hectic it is, and how we hate publishers for cramming everything in like a 3 week period in October and November. What games are you guys looking forward to co-op wise? What's your most anticipated co-op game this fall?
Who do you want to start?
Go ahead, Mike. You go, since you spoke up.
All right. Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead, and also Left 4 Dead, because I played Gears 2 at PAX. I've played some of the other stuff, and Left 4 Dead it just appeals to me. It's that same drop-in, drop-out. You know, I want to play one round and one level, and you know, then I'll play five more because I'm addicted to it. But, you know, it's you get in, you have little objectives, you play with your friends. It is probably the most, like, you know, claims about Schizoid aside, I think it's probably the most co-op game I've ever played. It's like, if your team is not operating like a well-oiled machine, you are going to fail, and you're going to fail spectacularly. And it was just so much fun. And I don't think anything I've played this year, including, you know, Dead Space, which I'm loving, has given me that kind of visceral emotion of victory whenever I get through a level.
Yeah. So, I mean, Valve knows that they have something special on their hand. We posted an article about $10 million ad campaign that they're pushing for this game. And even though the pre-orders for the game are higher than the orange box already... Wow. You know, they're going to throw $10 million at it to push it even further, so...
Yeah, and in addition to Left 4 Dead, I'm, as you might have gleaned already, I am incredibly jealous of you for having Fable 2, because I was an enormous fan of the first one, and I'm actually going to be out of town for a few days after the game comes out in stores, so I won't be able to touch it till probably next Monday, so I'm really happy about that, but, you know... I'll have something nice waiting for me when I get back.
There you go. What about you, Mark? What are you looking forward to?
Well, the one I was looking forward to the most was Rock Band 2. And now that it's out, it's just like anything else after that is just... I'll be honest with you. That's the most fun for me and my family, just because we can all play it and enjoy it. But it's hard. I would say Left 4 Dead, because I think it looks incredibly innovative and very atmospheric, and I know we're going to have to work together like a well-oiled machine, like Mike said, but after you guys played Duke with me last night, you probably know I'm not well-oiled when it comes to those kind of games, so I'm afraid I'm going to kill my team, like, so much. You know, probably I'll probably shoot the car alarm way too often and things like that. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to Left 4 Dead, but I'd say the biggest one, and it would be an absolute day one purchase for me, would be Little Big Planet. I didn't get into beta, but, man, I have looked at so many videos. And it's just not so much for the gameplay, but just to see what people come up with. Wow. I mean, it's incredible. Just the sheer creativity. I've seen Tetris. Someone made a Tetris clone, and the working calculator, and, you know, the Shadow of the Colossus levels, and all these crazy things. And my favorite was the Red Rings of Burninating level. Did you guys watch that video by chance?
Did see that? That was pretty funny.
Yeah,
that was hilarious. And I just know there's going to be a lot of fun, cool user things to do on that. It's another one too that I'll be able to play with the kids, and I won't have to worry about what they're seeing or anything like that. I don't think the little guy's going to be too much into exploding zombies and things like that. So I'd have to say Little Big Planet. Although Gears 2, again, I want to play that one too. And it's got a family filter. I feel like that'd be cool. Instead of swear words, we have, sparks instead of blood and all
Your
that.
Your mom is a classy lady.
Yeah.
Any arcade. Yeah.
Definitely. So, I don't know. Those three, Little Big Planet, Left 4 Dead, Gears 2, probably in that order, are the ones I'm looking forward to the most from now till Christmas time.
Well, okay, Nick. I'm going to pick one out of left field because it's for a different reason, really. I'm anxious to get my hands on Resistance 2 because I want to see what this 8-player co-op campaign mode is all about and how well it works. Because I'm playing Fable 2 now. You know, I know what it's about. It's really good, but Resistance 2 is trying to do something a little bit different. It's kind of like a mix between the Call of Duty 4 multiplayer mode where you level your character, you unlock weapons and skills and stuff like that. But they took that to, you know, a co-op only campaign mode. And actually, one thing I found out this week about the co-op is the levels are pseudo random. So, like, you'll get, like, different mission objectives, and the levels change, like, every time you go through them. So, It sounds like there's a ton of replayability and stuff there with that, and I'm anxious to get my hands on that and check it out, something different. I know Gears of War 2 is going to be good. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy it. Like I said, Fable 2, I'm enjoying it already. I know it's going to be good. I know everybody's going to enjoy it. Call of Duty World at War, you know, that's going to have its own little co-op thing, too. But, it's kind of been there, done that, World War 2 thing. Resistance 2, we'll see what happens with that. I'm anxious for sure. I was really hoping to get in the beta for that. But
well, you know what the Resistance 2 co-op campaign sounds like to me, right? It's basically Hellgate London. It's you have class-based pseudo FPS pseudo MMO randomized levels. Yeah. It's exactly what that is. And I was one of the few people that enjoyed Hellgate, so I think that's going to be fun. But I know that this has been done before, and it wasn't that much of a success. So it'll be interesting to me to see if they manage to pull it out and it ends up being the best part of the game. Because they talk about you have a guy who's really heavy on defense, so you sit there and act like the meat shield. And then you have your medics who sit there and spam heals.
Yeah.
On your tank, it's classic MMO structure.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't seen any impressions from any of our users that got in the beta this weekend. I know a few of them did, so I'm anxious to hear. Maybe they were too busy playing.
Probably.
So, definitely good stuff. You know, those guys there. One of the articles we want to talk about this quick here. This weekend just went up that the game is going to support split screen play with online. So you know you'll be able to have. You and a buddy in your living room can go online with, five or six other people and play through that 8-player co-op campaign all together. And split screen is something that has been pretty difficult, I guess, for developers to implement lately. It's something that's kind of disappeared, and, you know, it's something that a lot of us had made a lot of noise about, saying, hey, we want split screen back. What's going on? Yeah. And then there was another article that we posted this week from...
It was a Left 4 Dead developer.
That's right.
Designer.
That's right. It was the lead developer for Left 4 Dead, and he was saying how that they really pushed for split screen from the beginning, but they knew they were going to face a lot of resistance from it because it is so hard to implement. And I believe, I guess it makes sense, but the Xbox 360 version is the only version that does have split screen. It's kind of silly to have split screen on a PC. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Do you like split screen games? Not, you know, do you think it should be a requirement to get it in for co-op, or do you think because online's so popular now that, well, maybe it's not as important anymore?
I think split screen, it has its place with what they're talking about with Resistance being able to have two people on the same machine co-op but join the online co-op version. I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool, but in certain games, I hate split screen. Like a shooter, I want to have my entire screen to see everything in the most minute detail possible so I can, you know, put a bullet between its eyes. Stuff like maybe Mario Kart, I feel it's a lot more suited for split screen because, you know, knowing where someone is in the level isn't really going to be too much of an advantage to you. In a shooter, it kind of is. You get people accused of, you're looking at my screen, you cheater.
Right.
When you play split screen games.
Goldeneye.
So.
The classic Goldeneye defense.
Oh yeah. It's easy, you know, it's easier to spawn camp. It's easier to do a lot of stuff if you can see where everybody is. But I play most of my co-op online, and the stuff that I play on the same screen is like Rock Band or Castle Crashers, where it doesn't matter where everybody is because you're all in the same place all the time. So you don't need the split screen. So I just talked in a big freaking circle. So, you know, enjoy.
The only thing, I just think of some titles that have come out this year, and if they had split screen, I just guarantee you, Too Human. You know, just think of that. If we had split screen from the get-go on that, that would have made such a big difference. I mean, it's such a great action game, and it was a lot of fun, but in the end, it's just you and one other person if you're playing co-op online only, and if you were right next to each other, I think it'd be just a much better experience. I hate to see it, you know. I really do. Playing with my kids so much, there's a lot of friends that we have that I would love to be able to play, like, with my son against or with some friends of ours, but very few games would let us do that, unfortunately. I don't know what else to say. I wish it was there. It just seems like it's a money grab to me. You know, well, we'll just want them to... It's easier just to sell online co-op because that way we're selling more copies of the game. I don't know if that's probably some of the reason, probably not all. And I know it's difficult to they say it's difficult to code for the stuff, and yeah, it's a stress on the hardware. But you know, take the textures and draw distance down a little bit and give us split screen. I don't think it's that much of a too much to ask, really.
Indeed. So I think that's about all we wanted to cover though tonight. So. It was a pretty good episode. What do you guys think? Did you have fun?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I have to say, I just saw from Mike what he's got planned for the Little Big Planet launch, and everyone is going to love it. Awesome. very cool.
Until he complimented me there, I was going to say that this was the worst podcast ever because we invited Mark back. But
let me go on and on about how good it was. It's just going to be so awesome, Mike, I tell you.
You know, massaging my ego will get you very far.
So,
I felt we did pretty good. I'm recovering from being sick, so I feel like I'm a little off, but you guys are there.
I tried not to spew out too much all at once. I know I kind of got worried the last podcast, so.
All righty. Well, thanks, guys. This has been the Co-Opticast for Co-Optimist.com. Have a good one.